Oh, I know. This morning on Wednesdays, I usually stay home for a little bit. And so at about 5, I usually get up at 4:15, 4:30. But about 5:15, I'm joined by my daughter or my granddaughter. And so at around 6:30 in the morning, we're playing Slapjack, eating Life cereal, checking our nails, doing a makeover, and it just never stops. And I left this morning, I left at 10, but by the time I left, it was partly I had fun, I'm exhausted, and I can't wait to get out of here. So it's one of those things, but I love it. So you know what makes me think, though, your son now, he has three kids. When you add a third kid to the mix, and I know you've got one child, your son, I've got two kids, but when you talk to couples and they have, all of a sudden they have, go from two to three kids, what are some of the things you see happen in marriages? I mean, there's a saying, and I don't know if it's true, they say that three are easier than two. I don't know if I buy that. And then they say after three, four doesn't matter, five doesn't matter, six doesn't matter, it's all craziness, but what's your take on that when you talk to people about counseling and family issues?
Couples that I talk to that have three, at least initially the first year, they totally feel outmanned because they have two children, they have one parent per child. Once you bump it up to three, they feel a little like, oh dear, who's going to pick up the loose ends here?
Okay. I must have misspoke then. If you were to say, in talking to couples, their biggest challenge when they get a third kid, is it financial? Is it time? Is it staying compatible relationally, husband and wife? Is it just the new journey of trying to, you know, deal with three different kids, three different personalities? So what are the biggest challenges, do you think?
I think time is a huge challenge. And then also the frustration or the challenge of trying to stay just as engaged with that third child as you were with the first two. I think a lot of parents feel guilty. But I always encourage them and say, God knew that who you needed for a third child and who that third child needed as a parent. So I always just say, just trust the Lord that He gave you the children in the order that He knew would be best for them. So do the best you can and get help when you need it. If there's a tribe, a network, it's like you got to have your
right
support.
Yeah. I would think probably people at first would assume that the biggest challenge would be the time, because now you have three kids. Usually that third one is, you know, the only one in diapers. You have one that's mobile and talkative. You have one that's maybe in the middle between both. And so the time between all three, by the time you have time for the older, you're probably so worn out by the youngest, you might feel like you're cheating the older. So, but anyway, real quick, you were with mom and dad. Any thoughts seeing a brand new baby and then seeing our parents in their 80s? Any insights as far as life or thoughts you had regarding that?
Oh, my goodness. Just the word legacy just kept coming to me, especially when we were in church together. So the newest great-grandbaby.
Love it.
And myself, and then Derek and Mandy, and then Dad, and, you know, those four generations in one building, worshiping the Lord. Legacy, legacy, legacy.
Yeah, yeah. It was great seeing the picture that you posted of Mandy and Dad and the kids all right there. It was fantastic. So, we talk legacy a lot in my family with my boys. I know we talk about it a lot in our family as the Heckmans. The thing that I kept, you know, coming back to, and, you know, I love the gym. I love health and fitness. So I'm not trying to beat the same drum, but I'm so thankful that when you look at four generations, mom and dad have done such a good job taking care of themselves that they're able to enjoy, you know, each one of those generations. And they're not out in the back playing ball by any means, but they're both very active with the kids in the house, playing and talking and stuff like that. So it just, again, reminded me, stay in shape for the long haul. Stay in shape for the long run. You know, I've got grandkids, and someday I'm going to have great-grandkids. And so just be around for it all. Be around for it all.
Me too, me too.
Good. Good. Well, so with that, I'm going to be going now. I got to go work out. No, I'm kidding. but that brings up such a great idea. When you look at legacies, you look at all these different marriages in their 80s and their 50s and their 30s. Along with age and marriage, we also know that there are different seasons in marriage. And I thought maybe today we could spend a little bit of time of seasons. Different seasons in marriage. If I was to ask you right now, let me throw this out. I think one of the biggest challenges that I've learned to navigate is not just the fact that you have to understand what season of marriage you're in, but for me specifically, I have a season of ministry, I have a season of marriage, and then I've had to deal with my own seasons of health.
Right.
And I mean, a lot of times it looks like you have these seasons and they should line up like this, but they don't. They kind of sometimes three line up and two don't, and two line up and three, you know, and it's a constant challenge. Right now, my health is a great season. My ministry is a phenomenal season. My outside activities and entrepreneurial things are doing great. But the home is, and it's not bad. But the season of being home with a son who just went through a divorce, another son who just went through a breakup, and everyone's living at our house with the grandkids, it's a challenging season. So when I look at just my marriage, I'm very thankful that right now I have a, in fact, I told Kim this just 2 days ago. I said, I'm so happy and so just in love and at peace with where our marriage is at right now. It's a good place. And to be honest and not to brag, right now we have, you know, I have most of the seasons in my life are good. There have been times when it seemed like every season, every area in my life, the season was winter.
Yeah.
But, you know, definitely now good. So anyway, with that being said, what season, if we looked at winter, spring, summer, and fall, and again, summer is when everything's going great. Fall is when you're trying to plant things and start new beginnings. Winter is when things are really tough.
Wait, fall?
And again,
back up. You said fall's when you plant things. Don't you mean spring is when you plant things?
I mean harvest. I'm saying harvest. Yeah. Getting spring and fall. Fall is when you're planting and preparing. Winter is when things are tough. And then spring is when you're envisioning and planning for the future and planting things like that. So my bad. But what area, what season would you say you and Mitch are in right now? And well, we'll start with that. What season do you feel like you and Mitch are in right now?
Well, I would say we're heading into winter, and here's what I mean. Not because it's cold and bad. I look at a winter season as it's more quiet. There's not the budding of the trees or the growing of new plants. There's not new babies being born like in our natural seasons. Winter is more quiet. It's more subdued. Things are underground. And so for us in our marriage, it's a time of really moving into quiet contentment, accepting the things that are as they are, and not striving. We're not striving in our careers in the sense we're not trying to move up the ladder anymore. We're not striving in trying to change each other and make sure, you know, the other one is coming across the way they need to for us. There's just more of an acceptance and a contentment. And so it's just a quiet kind of season. It's later in our life. We're now in our 60s. And so it's not, unfortunately, the spring season of new life and new passion and that, you know, that honeymoon, everything is wonderful. And it's past the, you know, I would say for us, the fall season, autumn season in our marriage was maybe that season that we go through of some disillusionment. Things felt like they were kind of coming to an end. You know, we were realizing the other person wasn't going to change. And it just felt like, you know, some things we were losing some things. We didn't have that fire and that passion, and we know all the ugly spots of each other and the downsides. And so winter is much more quiet and of, yeah, I know who you are, you know who I am, and there's a greater sense of acceptance, if that whole thing makes sense.
It does. Do you think seasons and doing a little bit of reading, some people see seasons as like regular seasons, reciprocal. There's always going to be another spring. And then other people kind of look at the seasons in marriage as, you know, you have one spring, one summer, one fall, one winter. And I don't know that I agree with that, but what's your take on that? And do you think if you're in winter right now, there's another spring coming for you and Mitch?
So I like your idea that I think I look at marriages, ours included, as seasons come and go. So I can have more than one spring. Now I look at stages as you have one stage and then you move into it. So for us in stages, I look at the honeymoon stage, the reality stage, disillusionment stage, and then acceptance stage. And we're heading, you know, we're well into the more acceptance stage. Seasons, I think, are, they can come and go where there can feel, you know, there can, even our 60s being married 41 years, there, I think, and I hope there's a season of springtime where in a different way, there's new life between us, with us in our marriage. Like becoming grandparents, that was definitely springtime and summertime. There was new life, new joy.
Right.
So I agree with you. I think seasons can come and go in a marriage. The stages, I think, are pretty well set and are pretty well common, at least in this culture.
I think to make this more confusing, we should talk about seasons, stages, levels, and spheres of marriage and just mix them all together.
Let's do it.
No,
write the book.
Yeah. Right. When you're saying that, it's funny because so much of, and you can appreciate this, but so much of my life is reflective upon ministry. And when you think about ministry, I've taught for years, especially to youth pastors, that, you know, the seasons in a regular year, when you're talking about farming, especially here in the Midwest, it's very much the same way it is in youth ministry. I always tell them, you know, summer is the time to build relationships. You're planting, you're growing, you're going to activities, you're meeting with families and parents and kids. And then fall is the time to harvest. You're trying to grow your youth ministry. It's an easy time to invite kids to church and to your youth church and to your youth group. And then winter comes, and it's a great time to all those new people that have come now to build some discipleship and some real depth. And it's kind of prepping for the spring. And then springtime is really a time to celebrate and to serve those who've stuck around and been discipled. Now you're trying to get them involved in using their gifts and their talents. And then it starts all over again. I see that a lot sometimes in, I see it transferable in the understanding of marriage and seasons in marriage, where, you know, even when you have kids, you're automatically going to be in a new season.
Right.
There are things that I learned about with Kim that I would have never known had we not had kids. Things that she accepted, things that she didn't accept, and vice versa. When our kids went into different ages and different schools, from grade school to middle school to high school, again, really little micro seasons where we found ourselves dealing with different things. When we would move, there'd be a different season. When we would have different challenges, whether financial or health, different seasons, all within, you know, those were microcosms, all within the actual season of marriage we were in. And so I think right now, Kim and I are very much in the fall season. We're very much still kind of reaping some of the things that we have. And she would probably like to go into winter season, you know, but right now our life won't allow
it.
And And my personality, I don't know that I'll ever be in a winter season. I feel like I'm just gearing up to do even more than ever, but that's me. So my point is this. Have you ever seen a marriage where a husband and wife are distinctly in two different seasons, and how do they manage that in marriage?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think there have been a lot of couples where he's winding down as she's winding up. Moms tend to feel a sense of freedom once they get their children into school, or especially as they launch their kids into their adult lives, and moms start feeling like, okay, now what about me? It's my time, and I want to pursue my passions, my giftings. I maybe want to re-enter the workforce in some way, in a more comprehensive way. And often the husband is like, hey, I'm winding down. I want to do less. I don't want to volunteer for everything after being involved in all my kids' stuff. And so, yeah, that can be a real source of tension for couples.
Now, when you have couples like that, this sounds horrible, but my guess is maybe that there's a difference in age or in health. Meaning, I see a lot of men my age who are winding down simply just because they don't have the energy that they used to have. They're getting close to retirement, so their brain starts to shift into that mode. And sometimes at this point, the woman still has her health, has a little more freedom. Finances are a little easier because kids are out of the house. And so do you ever see that dichotomy and kind of that schism between the two?
I do. And
how do you work through that?
Well, sometimes to a certain degree, it's okay to have an open discussion of, we can have some of our own lives. We don't have to do everything together. We don't have to want all the same things. So then I think couples just have to be more intentional. So this might be a season where the wife says, well, I'll do some more things independently with my friends, with my girlfriends. But keeping in mind, there has to be intentional points, though, of contact and connection with her husband. Because if you go too far to that extreme, then you really have a marriage where you've really grown apart. But it can be healthy for a husband and wife to say, look, go ahead, do what you want your life to be right now. It doesn't have to be all the same stuff together. But let's also be intentional about then how are we going to come back and connect with one another.
Right. So when you have two different people in a marriage who are different in age, let's say drastically, because it's getting popular now, and you have a man who's, 47, who's married to a woman who's 27, would there be pieces of advice or concerns or warnings you would give them regarding seasons in marriage, spring is planting and preparing, and summer is working what you've planted and you're working on that, and fall is reaping the benefits of that. What are some of the challenges in seasons when you have couples that are, vastly different in age? And let me first say, I got to know this. I'm sure you and Mitch have had this conversation. If Mitch ever died, would you remarry?
Probably not.
No? Okay. If you were to remarry, let's say I can make you change your mind and you were to remarry, and I know you, I wouldn't, but what would be the youngest or the oldest someone you would marry, being your age now?
I would not marry anyone 5 years or younger than me. Five would be my limit.
Why is that?
Because I don't want... I want to be in the same life stage as my spouse. It's just, there's too many developmental hurdles to get through. I don't want to face that with someone who can't relate to it yet. I don't want to start feeling the joy and thrill of being a grandma and yet be married to someone who is like, Well, first of all, if they have children, their kids are in college, they're not even near having children. You know, it just pulls you apart, not because you're bad people, but you just have less in common. I don't, and that's a lot of hard work then to make a marriage work. And I don't, honestly, I wouldn't want to work that hard.
Okay. And I'm going to come back to that. How old, what would be the oldest someone you would marry? How much older than you?
Probably, I wouldn't want anybody more than, I don't know, 3 or 4 years older.
Okay. So, it's obvious, the older you get, the obvious, more obvious it is, the change and different in seasons. If you're 20 and your husband's 35, it's doable. Yeah. It's a little weird. But when you're 55 and 30, all of a sudden the seasons are magnified, you know, times a thousand.
It's hard.
And so, so I see where that can happen. So going back to my original thought, Kim and I have talked, you know, if I ever died or if she ever died, would we remarry? And what's funny is I don't think about age in the sense of, like the way that the typical guy would think, just to be honest, you know, I want to marry a young, beautiful woman. My thought is in seasons, the energy level, and this is sounds so arrogant, and I really don't mean for it to be, but I, you know, I'm in spitting distance from 60, okay? But I can still bench 400 pounds and squat 700 pounds and dead. And I take great shape. I take great care of my body. I have a ton of energy. I maybe get 5 hours, maybe 6 hours of sleep a night, and I'm go, 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 go. And I look at women my age, I'm like, you don't have it. I would drive you into the ground. And luckily, Kim, her haven is the home. And so that's her palace. And so she's like, go for it. You knock yourself out. You know, say hello in the morning before you leave. You know, pinch me at night when you go to bed. She doesn't need me around 24/7. We have rhythms built into our life that allow us to connect.
Right.
But I go, man, if I was to remarry now, I would marry someone not so much in the season of thinking, well, it would still be a season, but it'd have to be a season where do you have the health and the energy that I want to continue to pursue life with? Because I don't see myself, I don't want to go to winter, not for a long time. Much like, you know, dad was teaching in schools up until just a few years ago. So do you find that in some people's lives there's a collision almost, like a fight, like, hey, I want winter, and the other one's like, no, I don't want winter? And can that cause problems that aren't so easily navigated, I guess?
All the time. Because if it's physical health or if it's career health, or if it's just hobbies, I mean, all of a sudden they realize we are at vastly different places. So those things that are not similar really start making a difference. I want somebody close to my age going forward because, yeah, I've got places that aren't as beautiful and pretty as they used to be. And, you know, there's wrinkles and there's flab and there's, and I take great comfort that Mitch knows me, sees me, I know and see him, and we kind of laugh and go, yep, this is what 60 looks like. And it's not an excuse to be careless with our health, but let's just face it, my abs, they're never going to look like they did when I was 30. And I'm glad I'm with a husband who will probably say the same thing about his.
Right. Do you think, I think maybe we should provide our viewers with pictures to prove that.
You first.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. I'll share pictures. I'm, you know me, I walk around with no clothes on all the time. So, no, we're not sharing those pictures, but I'm just saying, I am not afraid to take my shirt off. But here's the other thought about this though. When we talk about seasons, like as a farmer, if we're talking to a couple that I have two different couples right now that I'm counseling pre-marriage. Actually, the one just got married, to be fair. But in talking about seasons, you know, a farmer doesn't just come springtime, all of a sudden say, well, it's time to plant. There's a bunch of planning that has to go into, you know, spring is coming. How do I make the most out of spring? How do I make the most out of summer? How do I make the most out of fall? If let's look at the far extreme. If a couple is in their late 50s and they're going into winter, what's the best way for them to prepare to make the best out of winter? Because there's still probably going to be a spring of some sort yet to come, whether it's through grandkids or a move or something like that. But how do we make the most out of seasons? And let's start with winter.
Well, I mean, that it probably has a lot to do, depends on what the actual winter looks like. You know, it could be really stormy. I think one of the biggest things you have to do is always check back in with each other and say, what are your expectations for where we're at in our life right now? You know, what are your expectations, or what would you like to have be our reality in our finances right now or for the next season, you know, that's coming? What's your expectations, or how would you, what would you like to see happen in our social life? Or, you know, it's just those check-ins of how do you feel about these areas? What seems to fit who you are now? And I think you have to prepare for the next season by just talking about what you had thought it would be like versus what it's really like, what you would like it to be like, just communicating about it.
Right. You know, again, people change in their lives. They change in their marriage, and you can never absolutely lock into something. But I know early on when Kim and I were, even when we were talking about getting engaged and being married, and then the few years, our first few years of marriage, she would talk about retiring and, you know, what it would be like to retire. And this, and I remember telling her, I'm young. I don't think anybody when I was real young would have tagged me as a workhorse. I like to have fun. But knowing, you know, who my dad is and knowing the cloth that I'm cut from, I knew deep inside I'm never going to want to retire. And so we had to have quite a few conversations, and she had to come to a point like, okay, you don't have to retire, but you have to give me, and we, you know, kind of build the expectations in place before we ever got there, which I thought was very wise. But going back to, if you have changing expectations in seasons, or I guess changing seasons that then change expectations, is it unfair to go to your spouse and say, hey, I know we've always talked about this, but now that I'm 30, 50, 70, I really don't, I don't want to do that. I know we built that as an expectation, but now I don't want to do that. Is that unfair? Is that healthy? How would you navigate that?
I think it's fair. And I think it's even so good, Garth, that you brought it up, because it happens. And, you know, that one spouse says, I know we talked about this. I know this is how we thought this was going to go. This was our plan, but I don't want that anymore. And then the other spouse feels totally betrayed. Like, I was counting on it being this way, and now you're telling me it's not. It's good for couples to know that's common. And so you have to kind of hold it with open hands. And so if that happens, what I would recommend is say, okay, zoom out that, okay, so you don't, you're being honest, which good for you. You're saying, I don't really want this like I thought I did, whatever the this is. So then zoom out and start with, what do you know you both do want? Okay, well, I know I still want to be married to you. So let's start there. I know that I want to be able to have enough financial security to pay my bills. Let's, you know, so zoom out and start with what you do both know you still do want. What are the things that you agree on, and start coming in to more specifically, and then actually talk about the why. Why do you want it, or why do you not want it anymore? And what's going on? What's pushing that? What's driving that? Are there fears that drive that, or are there new revelations that you're realizing about yourself that's driving that? And then again, it can sound cheesy and cliche, but then it's about, okay, where might we compromise? Where might we both take steps towards what the other one wants and doesn't want?
Right. You know, I think another piece of advice that could be wise is when we think of seasons or we think of the future, it's easy to focus on what we want and rather continue to come back. But who do I want? I want Kim wherever we decide to retire or wherever we decide to live. I want to spend time with Kim. I want to laugh with Kim. I want to do church with Kim. I want to do grandkids with Kim. I want to do dinner with Kim. You know, all these things like that. And a lot of times if I put the what I want to do, you know, whether it's when I'm 30, 50, 70, 90, that can isolate me from that person because they feel like it's more about my needs and what I want than about them and who I want. And I mean, I think one of the things that have helped Kim and I is we're just big in the process. We always have a process for everything from, you know, my day is really, really scheduled. Completely filled up. I just mean, I know what time I'm going to get up in the morning, what time I'm going to have my quiet time, what time I'm going to hang out with my wife, what time I'm going to do my business, what time I'm going to work on church, what days I'm going to work on my sermons. I have a calendar that tells me, you know, and within those hours, I can change and tweak things, but there's a process behind everything. And so even as we look at the future, Kim and I have talked about the process of staying connected and then the process of how we're going to figure out the next season. We've both talked about how it would be nice to, you know, my church is 35, 40 minutes from where I live. I live in the city. My church is kind of out in the country in a sense. And we've talked about, you know, it would be nice to move to somewhere where there's acreage and a little more relaxed out here by our church. That's something we both are starting to process because it's something I want to do that with her. She wants to do that with me. So we build this communication and process around that. But again, everything we look to in the future is still wrapped up in, but I want to do it with you.
Yeah, that's good.
So let's figure out how to do the future with
that's
you.
That's good.
And not just I want to do this, but I want to do the future with you. And I think the bottom line is most of us would agree in 25 years, if we're living in Montana, you know, at a candle shop, working at a candle shop, if I'm doing it with Kim, and obviously within God's direction, but if I'm doing it with Kim, I'd rather be happy doing it with her than living my vision. And in a sense, I'm not doing it with her. Not that we get a divorce, but you know, there's no connection anymore. So
and one of the,
I have no idea where I'm going.
No, that's good. No, that's really good. That your idea of processing things and working them through long before you ever take action, so important. And along that reminds me, one thing that's really helped us and helped others is when we think about seasons and what we would do in what season and what we want for the future, I have learned to let Mitch know, hey, babe, I'm just dreaming. It's just fun for me to talk this way. And I try to preface those conversations. Otherwise, if I don't, I realize I would say, well, I wanted this and I wanted that. And this would be, you know, and he was, right. He was likely to hear that I couldn't like that had to happen. And it was unfair to him because I was kind of coming across like, you know, this is really how I need this to go down. And what I was actually just saying is I'm just talking, I'm just dreaming. I'm imagining what it would be like if it would happen that way. And, that made a big difference in our being able to talk about whatever season we're getting ready for next.
Okay, so I'm laughing. Here's why I'm laughing. How many cars would our father have owned if he would have bought every car? He said, oh, someday I'd like to get one of those cars. That's a nice car. I heard him say that 500 times.
That's right.
500 cars. I was like, oh, those old Renaults, those were nice cars. I'd always wanted to get one of those, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can talk about what you'd like as just dreaming or, you know, just kind of talking in the future like if it ever happened, which I really like. Excuse me. So I want to go back to this idea of preparing, though, still for seasons. when you are talking to a young couple newly married, when you're talking to a couple that's in the mix of kids in middle school, and then when you're talking to a couple that's empty nesters, what's the best advice after years and years of counseling all of those individuals, the best advice you give each one of them as far as preparing for their season or advice for the season that they're in? But definitely more on the idea of preparing, because I know right now I've probably got 4 or 5 young couples in my church. Some have young kids, some don't. But what's the best preparation for their season? And the ones, like I said, kids in middle school, and then the ones who are empty nesters.
I think the best preparation is to do your research and know what is common in this culture to expect. And I show couples the graph of the graph that graphs out levels of satisfaction in marriage. And I show them how for most, and there's always exceptions, but for most couples in general, their lowest levels of satisfaction is when they have middle school to high school kids. And
I did not know that.
It can start out pretty high because that's the honeymoon phase. We just get married, and then you start having children and it starts to decline. For most couples, it's very low when our kids are in middle school, high school. And then when we start launching our children, and at the last, when our children are finally in their adult lives, then the highest level of marital satisfaction is after kids are out of the house. I think it's so important that they prepare for the seasons by knowing what's coming, so that when they start hitting that downhill side and life feels hard, it's comforting to know this is normal. It is hard. So then what are the things that we can learn from people who have done this before us? What can we learn from their experience to make our lives? So my best recommendation is know what's normal, know what's coming, and then learn from people that are a few steps ahead of you in that journey.
Yeah, yeah. I would definitely echo those words. You know, how foolish of us to go into a season and not know what to expect. Yep. You know, do your homework. And then, like you said, and we covered this last time too, probably the greatest encouragement and the greatest school, the biggest benefit in your marriage is to be around couples that are just a few years ahead of you, that have a healthy marriage, love God, are good parents, and just hang with them. You know, not even as you're asking questions, just watch and kind of intertwine with their life and their activities to see how they do things. Watch their victories, watch their mistakes, talk to them about questions you have.
Yes.
It's unbelievably healthy. And in today's world, again, we don't do enough of that. You know, I see couples at the baseball game and that's it. Or I see them at church when I walk in and then I leave. And we really need to do a better job as individuals and as couples of intertwining our lives with other people that are healthy and that are a few years ahead of us. So good advice. Real good advice. All right. Any passing words of advice as far as closing up in seasons and life and grandbabies? And how old is your newest grandbaby now? What, 2 months?
She's 2.5 months.
2.5 months. Wow. Okay.
So cute.
Well, I can imagine. I can imagine. And her name is?
Her name is Magnolia Joy.
Magnolia Joy. I love it. I love it. Well, great. Well, then that means we've got to get all these grandkids together sometime quick for a Christmas with the parents.
So. It does. That's right.
Something soon. So, all right. So, last thought, seasons. What do you got for me, sister?
Just know that no season lasts forever. Remember, 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 this too shall pass.
I like it. I would say know the difference between a season and a storm. Because every season will have some type of storm. But that storm, as short as it is, doesn't mean it's the season. It just means it's a storm. So hang in there. You'll make it. Good. You'll get through it. So
it's really good.
Great. All right. I love you. Have a great night, great day. And I'm sure we'll be talking
soon. I love you too, brother. Same.
All right, bye.